Kicking off hour number two of the program, this segment's brought to you by Matlock Tire and Auto. Four area locations: Maryville, Athens, Lenoir City, and West Knoxville. If you need new tires, need auto work done, you can make it happen at Matlock Tire and Auto, the official tire service of Three and Out and The Drive, right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Speaking of The Drive, we have The Drive's on Lovable Bear on the McKinney Team Hotline. Bear, what's up, buddy?
What do you say, fellas?
Good morning, man.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us. How may we assist you today?
Pardon?
How may we assist you today?
I just wanted to talk to you about this whole deal with these Georgia guys. It's just so damn bizarre.
Does it not seem coordinated, Bear?
Yeah, it does, but, I mean, like, if you take a step back and just take out being a Tennessee fan for a second, and you just take about 10 steps back and look at it, I mean, it's a really bad look, I think.
For those guys
personally, it's a really bad look, especially Pollock, given his position. And it's just like, you know, you can't come out if you're, you know, a regional or, you know, national media figure and do a very vague attack. The vagueness of it is what amazes me, and that nobody's called them on it. Then, like, you know, you're going to have to give us some examples here. You've called this guy out the morning that he's getting ready to make his first appearance at, you know, the conference media deal. I mean, am I wrong? You see what I'm saying?
No, that's what I said. I was like, at some point, you can't just lob this, it was so, so bad, but we can't talk about it. Like, well, then you have to give us something. Like, what was the most disrespectful thing you've ever seen or heard of that Jeremy Pruitt? Like, I don't know. If you want to, like, I think they won't say it because they realize that once they do, everyone will be like, are you kidding me? Like, if they say Jeremy Pruitt cursed at Mark Richt, everyone will just be like, that's it? Are you a bunch of idiots? So I think they've painted themselves into a corner. I think right now their best motive is to just be quiet, because if they really reveal what Jeremy Pruitt did to Mark Richt that was so disrespectful, I think they'll get laughed off the stage. I think people will then have 100% ammunition to say this is a homer-based attack because you don't like the guy at Tennessee.
Well, that, and they'll be able to 100% say this is why they never get over the hump, win at all down there with all that talent.
Yeah.
They're soft.
Right. Right.
Because to me, the most disrespectful thing I've ever seen right now, I mean, this is in the running. I mean, you got to really think about it. I mean, the three of them popped off on his first day. I don't know. It's just weird.
Yeah, I mean, it was either coordinated or David Pollock is just trying to take up for his Georgia guy, and it's just and then it comes across as just extremely biased. And I thought some Tennessee fans on Twitter made a good point. It's like, you know, if you're Greg McElroy, you're always going to be a little biased. If you're, you know, Marcus Spears, I mean, anybody that played in the SEC, you're going to be a little biased towards your own team and relationships you have with people that are connected to your team. But you can't be a homer on SEC Network. You know, I mean, you can in your local market on a radio show. You can on local TV. You can even, I mean, it's actually becoming more of a thing to just be a homer in media in general. But on SEC Network, you at least have to be an SEC homer. You can't be a Georgia homer just because you played there.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, I feel like this is all their personal relationship with Richt. Because, I mean, you guys saw the players they talked to that played for Pruitt, even the ones from Georgia.
Glowing reviews. Glowing.
Yeah, I mean, they love the guy. So, I don't know. But for anybody that asks why I hate Georgia, and will always hate Georgia more than any other team, this is it. I mean, I hate it.
Bear, while we have you on the line, I did want to ask you.
Shoot.
Am I correct in saying that you've predicted the Vols to go 9-3 this year and upset Georgia?
Well, I mean, currently that's where the Drive's barometer is sitting at 9-3.
All right, I just wanted to
I've got a sound theory behind it. I told some of the guys you had already taken off the other day. I mean, I explained my theory. It's not based in sheepdom at all.
Not no, clearly.
No. It's a Butch factor.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You have to put a little Alvin Kamara's first year performance in the NFL. That fits in there. I'm just saying, what if? What if our last staff was incompetent as we think they were, and there's a lot more talent that just needed to be coached?
All right, I just wanted to ask. I was curious. I'll leave it at that.
Well, where are you at?
It's a pretty heavy tilt of the scale, though.
Right now, I mean, you're not going to like this, but I'm at 5-7, hoping we get to 6-6.
The Daveometer's 5-7, and the Barometer's at 9-3.
I'm basing it like I expect you. I think West Virginia, they're going to beat you unless you're able to take Will Grier out in the first quarter. That's the way you win that game. You knock Will Grier out.
Well, you know, we have a our head coach. Funny enough, he's from that Alabama way of.
He does kind of have a history of that.
Yeah, I mean that's if you go no backs, he's going to come to kill your quarterback.
DeAndre Francois.
He ruined. Yeah.
I got them 2-6 in the SEC. I think they beat Kentucky and Vanderbilt. I just think Missouri, their offensive firepower is going to be enough to overcome.
I want to talk to you about that later, because the things that Drew Lock said about their offense, they ain't going to be doing what they did last year.
No, I mean, Doolander's running it.
Yeah.
Like, I know, but like, I don't like Derek Dooley.
Hudson, you know, I came on here and we had a polite conversation going, and now you've triggered me. I mean, you're a known dullard.
I mean, I was polite. Yes, I am a known dullard. That, yeah, you got me there, Bear. We'll see you later, buddy.
Yes. You should have flushed him before he flushed you.
Okay, I'll let him. I'll let him have his moment. He's got us going 9-3, and I would love for that to happen. But I mean, whenever you look at logic and reason, that's not possible. So.
I feel like there's a generational difference too.
There is.
Davey has never seen the
game.
He
also just hates every producer that's not his producer.
That's true.
Because he hates Ben Lee and he hates Davey. Other than that, he seems to get along with most everybody. I don't know what his opinion is on Brandon Johns yet. I have no idea.
Too early to tell.
Nate, you bring that up, and that's a great point. That is something I want people, like, I don't think they can necessarily understand it, but at least try to look at it from my perspective. The best I've seen Tennessee is watching Eric Gaines throw interceptions in the fourth quarter against LSU in 2007. That's the height for me. That's the best I have seen. So in my adult life,
that was a really fun game until it wasn't, though.
Yeah,
you know.
But like in my adult life, my first year,
man, I was hammered that night. College, you know what I mean?
At the University of Tennessee was Derek Dooley's last year.
Nice.
So that was the first year I turned 18. So ever since then, that's my introduction to Tennessee as an adult. So it's hard for me just to be able to look back and be like, just because it says Tennessee on the chest, we should be winning. I mean, I want us to be great. I just, from where we were last year, I think depth is definitely going to be an issue. And whenever you look at that five-game stretch you have against, it's the toughest in the entire country. I think on the back end of that in November, those games are going to be games that you're going to have to fight tooth and nail. And I think you'll beat Kentucky and Vanderbilt. I mean, Missouri is still up for debate. Like, I think you'll be competitive in all those games. Like, I'm not doubting that one bit, which is going to be refreshing compared to last year. I mean, that's what Pruitt even said yesterday, talking at the mic. Is just like, we want to be a team that's tough. We show toughness, and whenever you leave, you can be like, that's my team. And I think you will see that. I think the first year, it's definitely going to be a struggle just trying to get all the guys to where, because when you're looking at it from a strength and conditioning program, we know that takes time to get your guys up to speed, in the shape. And after all the injuries the last couple of years, I do think you will see some of those down the stretch just because of the people you're having to play against week in and week out. It's going to be some wear and tear. And I'm hopeful it's definitely going to be a better season, but I think.
By one game, according to you. Which is fine. I don't think you have to like go on like these 5-minute explanations of why you think they go 5-7. You don't need to like battle Bear to like prove it.
Well, I'm not battling him, but you usually give me a hard time for not explaining my answer enough, and so the one time I go and actually give a good reason for why I feel this way.
Well,
I'm not going at you.
When
I'm
you're
just
not
saying.
In when Bear I, Bear
what
Bear
huh?
Bear has to give an explanations for 9-3 since
right.
that's
yeah.
you know
that's
a gazillion games above.
I mean, yeah,
the over-under.
Like the over-under is 5.5. Like you
so
saying you're taking the under by a game. Like I, you know, that's fine. 9. I need to show, well, no, but like, show your, okay, work.
But listen, I understand that, and I'm not going at you, but you do see people, like, the momentum is starting to go to where people, like, each day, like, seem to add a win to the total.
Yeah, man. It's sure. The off season. It's the summer. It's, like, football's here. That's what happens. But, you, I mean, you don't have to change yours, but, like, it's okay.
Well, I'm not, but I'm backing up my reasoning why I believe it. I just don't want people to be like, oh, you don't believe in the boys. Like,
did anyone say that to you? I'm just kidding. I've actually got 3 tweets already that says you're a Negaval.
See? Exactly.
There you go.
Well, it's your fault for going on record this early that you're going 5-7. We don't even know who the quarterback's going to be. It's your fault. You want the heat. You're asking for the heat.
Phone's ringing. I'll respond here in a second.
Fair enough. Bear wanted me to announce that Brandon Johns is a hack. So all producers, other than the drives, out. The Bear is out on
the Bear has producer bias. That's what I've determined.
PB, we call it.
Yeah, PB, for sure. I found the transcript of what David Pollack said. Normally, when these things happen, there's a sensationalized, like, one-liner that gets blown out of proportion, and when you read context, it gets better. I think Pollack's comments are worse in context. Here's what he said. To address Aaron Murray's comment, because I think it needs to be addressed a little bit, the stories that I have heard, and some of y'all have heard that came out of Athens, that are true,
I swear,
coaches that were on the staff, some of the things...
I didn't see it, but these guys told me.
Jeremy Pruitt did to Mark Richt. Some coaches would tell you are the most disrespectful, most crazy things they heard. So I'll be curious. So that's kind of the part everybody's talking about. And then he continues, quote, "So I'll be curious to watch Jeremy Pruitt as he evolves with this relationship with Philip Fulmer, because Jeremy Pruitt did a good job when he was with Nick Saban because he knew where he stood. He did a good job with Jimbo Fisher. They let you know where you stand. The hierarchy was very clear. How does he evolve as a head coach? He put on a good show. He definitely showed you what he has. I want to see if he continues to treat people in the correct manner, if he respects authority, because to be honest, the stories we've heard, we've all heard the same stories," and that's when he looks at Greg McElroy.
Right, guys, right?
"It was pretty bad. It was disrespectful. So that's what I'm interested to see." Like, bro, that was 3 years ago. He's won...
Also, is he really afraid that Philip Fulmer's not going to be able to be Jeremy Pruitt's boss?
That was my first reaction. You think Philip Fulmer's softer than Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban? I mean,
he's like a little warmer, but like, I think people forget that Philip Fulmer was a damn fine football coach and a boss. Like, the guy ain't the athletic director because he's a nice idiot. Like, he plays the... what's her name? The Queen of Thrones or Thorns, whatever. She's like the nice, pretty old lady and everything. She's a killer.
Yeah.
He's a killer. People think Phil is just this nice guy who worked his way up and got, like, he is.
You going Lady Tyrell?
Yeah, Tyrell. Thank you. I couldn't remember. I was like, I couldn't remember. It's been a long time. The show's been off for 2 years.
We need
to be watching
it
right now. It's not even on.
Game of Thrones.
He's just like, he's got. You get Fulmer behind a closed door, man. He can lay the lumber down.
David Pollack is insinuating that Jeremy Pruitt is like a kid at an event, like trying to stay on his best behavior, but at some point is going to crack and start yelling, screaming, and pitching a fit. Like, he's not a toddler.
Yeah.
He went to Alabama and won a natty. Like, Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher, Philip Fulmer. Like, you say those three names and no one bats an eye.
Yeah.
It's not like saying Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher, Butch Jones. I mean, like, no. Like, you think Jeremy Pruitt's not going to respect his athletic director when he just talked about Philip Fulmer being the guy he would pick and having done it here and winning a national championship?
I know, and we've...
You know what Jeremy Pruitt's going to respect more than anything? A damn trophy.
Yep.
A ring. A natty. I don't care if it's 1998 or 1938. Jeremy Pruitt's going to respect... a championship-winning coach, which is probably
and
why
it's not like one of these like fluke championships. I mean, he's
dominated
also
the 90s.
He's got the career record.
That's
back
why
it up.
Jeremy Pruitt said Tennessee's the job I'm going to take. It's because he saw Tennessee be at the top. One of the players said that yesterday. He said, "Yeah, the first things Coach Pruitt told us was about how Tennessee. When he remembers Tennessee, Tennessee was at the top, and our goal is to get Tennessee back on top every single year.
It's weird. We finally kind of swung back to now we're hiring somebody who's of the age where, oh yeah, when I was growing up, these guys were.
Instead of somebody trying to tell you how great Cincinnati sports are.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I mean, Pollock's take is like laughable on three, four, five different levels. Yeah. Jeremy Pruitt's not going to respect Philip freaking Fulmer? Are you kidding me? I want to see if he'll treat people nice. I want to see if he wins five games or nine. What the hell are you watching, Pollock? Like, you're a football analyst. You're not at Montessori school.
That's the thing, though. Like that, he's a Mark Richt guy. He's a be nice guy. And I'm not saying there's no room for nice guys in football. I'm just saying the mentality is different. And it's the same with Aaron Murray, and it's the same with Hudson Mason and these Georgia guys. And that's why when he said that to Greg McElroy, Greg McElroy's like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
Greg McElroy's like, this was 4 years ago.
Doesn't matter.
The guy's worked for Nick Saban. The guy's worked for Jimbo Fisher. The guy has five national championship rings. He has however many defenses that finished inside the top 10 or top five nationally. Like, he did go from kindergarten to the head coach at the University of Tennessee in 15 years. Clearly, the guy can get it done. But you're mad because he was mean to your friend.
If Mark Richt was so upset about this, then he should have just fired Jeremy Pruitt on the spot.
Right. I mean, there's a tweet from Mark Richt after they were getting ready for Kentucky. I can't remember the game that kind of caused some of this, you know, news to start up. But he was just like, just so everybody knows, Jeremy Pruitt is still our defensive coordinator. He's in the office today working diligently to prepare for Kentucky. Now, it's the fact that you have to address it means probably something happened.
Oh, sure.
But that's my thing. If it's so egregious, if it's so disrespectful, then it's funny. I got a text. I don't want to out somebody, but it's a really good text. So I'll save the name. But she said, doesn't this speak poorly of Richt? If Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher can have control and he can't over Jeremy Pruitt, and then she makes a really good reference that did Mark Richt just lose control again? Because that was always the thing at Georgia. Mark Richt, he's not in control. That for years, that was the thing. Mark Richt, very good. But eventually, the wheels get wobbly on the Georgia wagon. And
every year, they either did right out of the gate, they lose to South Carolina.
Yeah.
Or they'd have it silver-plattered and blow it. If they got over that one, they would Georgia it somewhere.
Yeah.
And last year, obviously, I mean, I think things are very different. It still came apart for them on the final play of the season, but it felt a whole lot different last year than under Mark Richt.
Sure. Here's what Nick Saban had to say about Jeremy Pruitt when he was underneath him.
What? I can only speak about the experience that I had with Jeremy Pruitt. I was not with him at Georgia, so I can't make any comment about what happened there, but he did a fantastic job for us. He was always very respectful, very loyal. Hard-working, did a fantastic job with our players. Our players had a tremendous amount of respect for him. He was always fair and honest in his approach in terms of how he did things. So I have never seen that side, you know, and it's really surprising to me to hear people say that, but because I've never seen it. That's not to say that it didn't happen. I don't know that, but I can only judge people on how they treat me and the job they do for what they do with us. And, you know, Jeremy Pruitt did a fantastic job for us.
Did someone record that with a potato?
I had to do a lot of work just to get it to sound that good.
It's 2018, people. Just lift that stuff off the internet. Help Davey out. Golly. What was that, like the phone in the back of the room in the corner?
It's fine. Just read the important parts. You had them up.
Well, then I closed it because I thought we'd be able to hear it.
No. What I thought was most interesting is not that Nick Saban said he was fine for Nick Saban, but that he said it was surprising to hear that. That lets you know that not only was Jeremy Pruitt on his best behavior for Nick Saban, but that he never did anything that he would even hint. Like, Saban didn't even have to say, whoa, easy, Jeremy. Remember who's in charge here. it sounds like to me that Jeremy Pruitt came to Georgia thinking, oh, man, this Mark Richt, everybody says he's a great guy. They've got good talent. Like, I can help this defense be a little better. They obviously need help on that side of the ball. They've got the offense has been great the last few years. I'll come in. We'll win big. And he rolls into Georgia and can't believe how they're operating, at least in some respects.
From everything I've heard, that was exactly the case. And he had been at Florida State. Fantastic support, facilities. Obviously, Jimbo is a Nick Saban guy, so he runs it the same way. He had been with Nick Saban, who at Alabama, obviously, you have great facilities, great support, and things are run, you know, the same way. And then you get to Georgia, and you've again, I think at that point he had won like four of the last five national championships or something like that, the last three, whatever it was. And he gets there, and I can only imagine how frustrating that would be to say, guys, like we can do this, 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 and this, and all of a sudden we make a big jump. Like, we can do here what they're doing there if we just kind of step it up. And according to, you know, kind of the mentality that you heard about at Georgia at the time was, nah, we're good, man. We're going to win 9 or 10. We're going to have fun. The kids are going to enjoy themselves. Like, it's almost as if Georgia was not chasing championships, and that's just not who Jeremy Pruitt is. Jeremy Pruitt even said, you know, I was at Alabama. The practices looked like this. I go to Florida State. They look the exact same way. Then he goes to Georgia, and it's very different. And that's one of the things he said yesterday was, I got to implement some of my stuff for the defense during practice. Mark Richt let me do that. But the fact that he had to change it, like, and then they got that much better on defense that quickly shows that Jeremy Pruitt knows what works and just wanted to try to implement it. And I think he was kind of wondering, why am I the only one who cares this much? I just got here.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have been here forever. And you've had success. But if you would just work harder and earn this incredible paycheck that you're all getting, we can really take this thing to the next level. And I think it just really frustrated him. And I don't doubt that he had some choice words at times for Richt and some of the other coaches, but I don't know. It's just that's the Mark Richt mentality, and that's what people said about Georgia for years. And I don't know if you saw this, like Jeremy Pruitt later on the stage was talking about those three coaches that he's worked under in college, and he said, you know, Nick Saban, you're always working. You're always trying to get better. You're always looking for anything to get an advantage, you know, just everything. And then he goes, I go to Florida State, and it's the exact same way. Jimbo's the exact same guy, just with an offensive mind. And then he starts talking about Mark Richt, and he said exactly what we said yesterday.
Yep.
He said, I got to Georgia, and it was everything was good, but what Mark Richt taught me, the biggest thing, was that there's more to life than football.
Captain Dutchback says, when Pruitt says he learned from Richt, there's life outside of football. That is code for Richt didn't work hard enough.
And look, man, like in a bubble here. I'm not wanting to talk, you know, philosophy, religion. I'm just saying, in a bubble, as a football fan, as a fan of Tennessee football, period, and we'll just box that off. I want a guy who's gonna earn that $4 million every year and work really hard. I want a guy who's gonna I'm not saying I don't want him to have an outside life. I'm not saying I don't want him to enjoy his friends and his family and other things and vacation and all that. But what I'm saying is I don't want there to be any question that when he's working, he's working. And it sounds like with Jeremy Pruitt, that will not be a problem.
We come back. We'll get to the McKinney team hotline. Hang tight right there, 865-546-8200. If you'd like to join the show, stick around on the flip side. We'll come right back here on 3 and Out. The McKinney team with Keller Williams has a simple philosophy. Clients come first. As they are helping you find the home of your dreams or sell your current home, they pledge to be in constant communication and keep you informed through the entire process. Put simply, you come first. Go to Facebook and like Travis and Emily McKinney's page or visit them online at ZillowKnoxville.com to learn more. That's Travis and Emily McKinney. It's the McKinney team with Keller Williams. And they're the proud sponsors of the hotline here, 865-546-8200. It is the McKinney Team Hotline for this football season. As we get started this week with SEC Media Days, up first on the McKinney Team Hotline, we go to T. Carp. T, what's up, buddy?
Hey, fellas. Hope everybody is doing very, very well. Wanted to talk about the schedule and talk about my prediction, you know, being 7-5. And Davey, I understand where you're coming from at what, 5-7, is that correct?
Yes.
And I was looking at this, you know, we've got West Virginia, East Tennessee, UTEP, and Florida. Guys, if we get rolling on the right track, and I know, Houston, you've given me a hard time for saying if we just beat West Virginia, you know, if we just win the first game, that's kind of a duh. But, guys, if we beat West Virginia, which their defense is on the level, again, this is from what I've heard. I'm not a football analyst, but from what I've heard, their defense is on the level of Kentucky. If we can control the line of scrimmage, run the football with Mondre London and Keller Crist is your starter. There's, in my mind, there's no debate. Garantano is not going to start. He's just not. I will bet you $20. Crist is your starter. I seriously. Anybody out there wants to take that, I'll do it.
How are you going to cap it?
I'll cap it with one person at the station. If they want to bet me $20, I'll go from there. How's that?
All right.
I'll
see if there are any takers.
Okay. But you beat West Virginia, East Tennessee State, UTEP, and you beat Florida, because I think, honestly, don't think Florida's very good. And everybody's saying, oh, they're going to be better. We'll see. I just, you know, even if we don't beat Florida, let's just play that we do.
Mm-hmm.
We lose to Georgia, Auburn, Alabama, and let's just say we lose to South Carolina. We still beat Charlotte, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt, and honestly, I still think we beat Missouri. That's still 7-8 wins. I mean, the path for 7 wins is kind of easy when you bring in Crist and London, and you bring in this new center, and Trey Smith starting, or going to start a play. I mean, and let's say you have a healthy shot tuttle. I mean, your offensive defensive lines are looking a heck of a lot better. And in my opinion, that's where you've got – I mean, that's your anchors. That's your – that's the – you know, it's great football analyst by T-Cart, but it's all at the line. And you've added some great pieces at the lines at the moment. So, I mean, I think that it's an easy path to 7 wins. Now, Davey, are you saying which game – you're saying we don't beat West Virginia, we don't beat Florida, and we lose to South Carolina, and we lose to Missouri?
I think the closest game on my toss-up that I have is losing to Florida, but I think that's going to be – you have a better chance of beating Florida than you do the other teams I have them losing to. And
who do you have them losing to?
The ones you said, T-Carp, South Carolina, Missouri, Florida,
West Virginia,
and then the big three.
I do think people are – overlooking the fact that this is Jeremy Pruitt's first year as a head coach, and it will be a lot better. I think people are just being like, oh, he's so much better than Butch, but like there is that learning curve you have to look at. And this was something we talked about the other day after the show. Whenever Nick Saban took over at Alabama, in his first season, he only got 6 wins in the regular season. And I think Tennessee's in a much worse shape going into this season than Alabama was when Nick Saban took over there. And Nick Saban had been the head coach at LSU and for the Miami Dolphins. So it's just with where the rebuild's
at. Very good
point. I'm just trying to temper my expectations too, because my heart's like, yeah, we're 7-5, but if I'm just like right now in my head, like looking at just based off the schedule you have to play, 5-7 is where I see the most realistic and most likely scenario for right now.
Okay. I'll give you that. I still say I will be very happy with 7-5, and I think it's very possible. 6-6 will be my, hey, good job, you know, kind of B-plus, B season. If 5-7, that'll be C-plus. I'm not getting crazy worried or anything like that. It just depends on how you lose the games, and I know that sounds stupid, but it does. It matters on how you coach and how you played the games if they go 5-7 to me this year. Guys, thank you so much. Y'all have a good one.
Thanks for the call, T-Carp. Gene?
real quick on West Virginia for as far as their defense. I think they struggle at linebacker and in their secondary, but they've really shored up their defensive line from this past season. That's really the only update I have on West Virginia's defense for right now.
Yeah, that'll be a, so. That so, I mean, if that's true, that'll be a big. That'll be one of the challenges of for Tyson Helton is how can you pick on, you know, the linebackers and the secondary in the first game of the year with new personnel and all that kind of stuff. And then Gene Chizik said yesterday that he's heard that the locker room loves Jarrett Garantano, which to me,
Chris has been here for like 2 weeks.
To me,
of course.
To me, if you're a Vol fan, like that's just good news. That just means that the team is united. Like it's if Chris comes in and he's obviously better than Garantano, like Marquess Callaway said, it's just my job to catch the football. I'll let the coaches pick who the better guy is. If Chris is better, saying guys are friends with Garantano is only good news. That doesn't mean they like hate killer Chris. Like you said, he just got here, and so I wouldn't even look at that as a negative, but I did want to just point that note out since we were talking about Chris Garantano and the quarterback battle. Let's go back to the McKinney team hotline. We've got Wes on the horn. What's up, Wes?
Hey, boys, how we doing?
Ah, there's that voice I love.
Yeah, I tell you what, and I love T-Carp, but and I hope to God he's right. But, you know, this easy path that he's talking about, it's dependent on, he mentioned Shai Tuttle, it's dependent on Shai Tuttle remaining healthy, which he has not throughout his career at Tennessee. It's dependent on an offensive line remaining healthy that has not been for years. I just don't think we have the depth. If we can go 6-6 and stay healthy enough with some key players and still have enough depth at the end of the season to beat Kentucky and Vanderbilt and put those together with the other soup cans on the schedule and get to a bowl game, to me, that's a success. You know, it's really interesting. I've been listening to some of the local radio here in Nashville to hear and contrast your guys' take on the whole Pollock and Aaron Murray and the take here. And, you know, I think a lot of the people in the national media and even a lot in the media here, they're still so butthurt that the fans and, you know, the, you know, fan-run radio stopped the hiring of Schiano, whether it's Jared Stillman, who I swear he has to have, I mean, this guy has the lowest rated show in Nashville. He's got to have something on station management here. Which, I mean, that's the only conclusion I can come to on why that guy is still employed. But, you know, I guess if I'm being honest, I think that a lot sometimes about the Bear and Nate every time I hear Bear speak. So, but, you know, I was listening to Braden Gall this morning. You know, a caller called in and said, look, this is all hearsay. Those guys weren't even there. And then Braden's like, this is not hearsay. This story has been, you know, there for years. And I'm like, Braden, I remember you 4 or 5 months ago, 6 months ago, saying that the Schiano thing was all hearsay. So you're saying, you know, this with two guys reporting what they have heard is not hearsay, but the Schiano stuff, which, I mean, a guy swore under oath on the, you know, threat of perjury that Schiano, you know, saw what was happening. I think there's just a lot of clouded, you know, people are looking at it through their goggles. They just, there's so much, and look, Jared Stillman has a known issue of having anybody on, whether it's Matt Jones. But, you know, why the hell do you have Matt Jones on to talk about UT football? He loves to get people on the radio and get them stirred up with their hatred of Tennessee. So, you know, I don't know. I will agree with Bear on one thing. It's just a perplexing and bad look for those Georgia homers to, you know, to come on and do this. You know, where were they 6 months? You never heard any stories about Pruitt when he was hired or in the days after he was hired. It's only when you get the SEC media tape we hear this.
No, Pollock said initially on the hire, tweeted out that Tennessee got it right, that Tennessee made a great hire, all things considered. And yesterday he even said before he remembered that he was in the midst of a smear campaign, he even said, you know, if they hire Jeremy Pruitt out of the gates, there's probably some questions, but I think a lot of people are still really, really excited. And they're obviously more, you know, excited that they didn't get Schiano and that they got a Southern guy. But and then all of a sudden it was like, I don't know, it was like he got a signal from some cameraman like, no, 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 don't forget, you're supposed to be negative today. And then he was, but I've heard he's a jerk.
Yeah. Anyway, well, bring on football season. I'm ready, boys. It's been a long summer.
We're getting there.
Thanks for the call, Wes.
Also, the real quick, I love the guys at 102.5, at least the guys I worked with when I was in Nashville years ago. they are not the Tennessee station in town. They are the everyone else station in mm-hmm. town. They're the MTSU, the Vanderbilt, you know, they go anti-Tennessee to attract people to their station because they realize that Nashville's a melting pot. Not everyone's going to listen to the other station in town and get their Tennessee takes and their daily interviews with somebody on the beat in Tennessee. They cover it a little bit, but that's kind of their niche. So if you wonder why they do that, it's because they feel that's their best way into that market is to go in and be anti-Tennessee in a city, frankly, that probably has enough listeners that are sports fans that would enjoy the anti-Tennessee sentiment. And a lot of people in Nashville listen to 102.5 because they're the Preds, and then they kind of get roped into continuing listening during non-hockey season, and they're so confused as to why they love one team that they love, and then they hate the Vols. And that's why. It's all ratings, and it's all going against the grain in a pretty big city.
Well, you guys let us know if you hear them talk bad about us in Nashville. We know that happened before.
They do. They do routinely.
Yeah.
I've
got the DMs.
But actually, both the stations.
Right.
They don't like us. Which is weird.
It's very strange.
I mean, one of them makes sense. I guess it both makes sense. One of them's, you know, the Vol Network.
Yeah.
Has the deal. So they can't give us any credence, you know, right? They can't give us any credit. And then the other one's anti-Tennessee, and we're obviously pro-Tennessee, so Nashville hates us. But we have great listeners in Nashville who tune out of their shows and tune in right here.
That's it. Stealing market share from the mid-state. Huh. Take that. We got a new sponsor coming on for football season out of the mid-state. If you'd like to join up, just...
Wow.
You know.
What's that? Our second biggest podcast and streaming city is Nashville? Huh.
Yeah, a lot of all fans.
Wow. That'd be a great opportunity for some mid-state businesses to come on board and test the waters.
There you go.
Just saying.
We're right here. You can call us on the McKinney Team Hotline if you want. We'll take your number down and give you a shout after the show. Be happy to. We'll come right back. Final segment, hour number two of the program. Stick with us right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Final segment, hour two. It's brought to you by Gold's Gym, the official gym of Three and Out. Download the AMP app, AMP, and use the code JULY1. Right there, you can use it for free. Give it a shot. And as always, work out for free, upper right-hand corner with the free 3-day VIP pass at goldsgym.com. It is the official gym of Three and Out all across the Southeast here. Whether you're streaming in, you know, Nashville or Anderson, South Carolina or Greenville or Chattanooga.
Dan and Grayson High School in Atlanta.
Right down there. You can use the Gold's Gym there, too. Tell them you heard about them right here on 3 and Out and Fox Sports Knoxville. We'll get back to a little bit of the I got rope-a-doped a little bit by a Sports Illustrated article, so I want to make sure I take a shot at them as I go back into this Georgia topic in just a second. But first, I want to play what Paul Feinbaum said about Jeremy Pruitt and kind of his, obviously, he's an alum of Tennessee, and I felt like yesterday he kind of felt the Georgia bias coming through and tried to kind of counteract it a little bit, but obviously in a much more professional manner. Here's Paul Feinbaum yesterday at SEC Media Days.
And I think what he is trying to do and what he did today was to draw a line of demarcation between what was and what is and what is going to be. Mm. Let's just be perfectly frank. I mean, he was honest and refreshing. A year ago, Butch Jones was disingenuous, thin-skinned. He was a pathetic carny barker, and he's now gone, and Tennessee fans want to see a real coach up there, and they have a real coach, and they also have a real athletic director, the man who should have been hired in the first place, who was passed over in spite of everything Philip Fulmer has done for this university. I think for the first time in a long time, the University of Tennessee is back on the right track.
Thanks for catching up, Paul.
I
got bitter yesterday seeing everybody. Oh, man, Paul, you preach it, bro. We preached that for a year and a half, and people were like, Nagavals.
Where were you, Paul, when Mike Griffith got up there and spewed the whole excuse after excuse after excuse about how hard the job was for Butch Jones and how injured this team was, and it was just the millennial media in this market driving the themes that Butch Jones isn't a very good coach? Come on, Paul. Why didn't you call him out then?
I mean, I'm glad he sees it now. But I'm just like, come on, man. Like, I don't want our name up in lights downtown, but I'm like, yeah, everybody was circling the wagons for this Paul Feinbaum spew, which I enjoyed it also. Where were you when this opinion mattered? Huh? Where were you when you could have made a difference, Paul? Man, everybody gave him so much credit. Oh, Paul really speaking his mind. We did that. Got called liars. Got called deepest, darkest pit.
Yep.
Had people who listened say, you guys are just, you just do this to get people to listen. You're just negative for the sake of being negative. Anyway, sorry. Soapbox, I'm off of it. Great job by Paul. I like it when Paul speaks like an alum. He doesn't do it often, but Paul sounded like me right there. And as an alum, I like that. I like that, Paul. I like it when people who graduated from a school give a damn. And when you have a platform to say so, you do it. So good for Paul Feinbaum. Good for Greg McElroy. Shame on David Pollack. And great on Jeremy Pruitt, who, again, that's my biggest takeaway from yesterday. All fear alleviated for Jeremy Pruitt and how he's going to handle, you know, answering questions at the podium. Obviously, he'll have his policies of what questions he will and will not answer, when he will and will not speak to the media. He did say yesterday he does not think he's going to allow his assistants to ever speak to the media. I don't know if you guys saw that.
No.
He said, that was the one thing he kind of talked about, that he was wanting to take over from what Nick Saban did.
Nick Saban does not allow coordinators to speak to the media. I guess unless it's an SEC or national championship and the conference.
They're required to. Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting. And I also got really nervous because does Craig Fitzgerald, does he qualify as an assistant coach? He's listed as director. Does that mean we're not going to get any Craig Fitzgerald interviews?
Does that mean we can't
get him on the show? Also, I don't know if you guys, and maybe it doesn't matter. Did you hear some of the weight numbers he was tossing around? About how much weight some of these guys have gained in like 4 to 5 months?
Was it 20 pounds for Eli Wolf?
20 or 25. Kyle Phillips is up to 285. I think they said he put on like 30 or 40 pounds. What were these guys doing over there?
Nothing.
What?
Optional workouts. No strength and conditioning coach.
Were we working out at all? Well, why did we stop with the working out?
Every time I hear certain things like this, it's the only thing about Bears 9-3 that makes sense. I can't. Mm-hmm. You cannot overestimate how crappy of a coach Butch Jones was. You can't do it. You cannot do it.
Negavol.
You cannot overstate how terrible he was at running a program. You can debate the Mark Richt style, the Nick Saban style, the Derek Dooley style. Doesn't matter. I mean, Butch Jones had no one do jobs that are standard operating procedure. It'd be like if, I don't know, it'd be like if we had a radio show with just one guy having to do everything all at once. It's like, hey, no one does it this way. Yeah, but, you know, I think it'll work. Well, you fired the other guy, but you didn't replace him. Pay no attention to that. We actually promoted him. He's not really fired. We're gonna let the guy that was in his other role just do two jobs at once and pay him $60,000, even though the going rate's six figures, and hope it's okay.
Baird just texted me.
Yeah.
Said that's the basis of the 9-3 theory. Butch Jones is gone. Our team is actually going to understand the game of football, work out, and I guess if you do those two things and you're not coached by Butch Jones, you got a shot.
I think you could make that argument pretty solidly for 7-5. I have a hard time getting those other two. But we can agree, disagree.
And that's what makes it so weird. I mean, it's a long football season, and I'm not saying it's impossible, but as things kind of stand now, if all things are even, I think that's very tough.
I'm just looking forward to seeing some competitive games, because last year, you just know, after the team kind of quit, you were getting blown out by teams. Like, I'm trying to think. I know Missouri, Vanderbilt was more than double digits.
It was weird because, like, Missouri, you led in that game. Wasn't it like 17-7 or 17-10? It was weird because they would actually start okay. I think they took an early lead on Kentucky. They had a lead against South Carolina. Like, they just – it was weird. It might have, honestly, now that I look back on it and you know the team wasn't working out, it might have just been conditioning. Teams might have just been able to catch up with Tennessee, you know, in the second half because Tennessee ran out of juice.
That in depth. Because the injuries did really pile up.
No, it's kind of the same thing. I mean, you're not working out, so you're not strong. You're getting injured, and then you're not working out, so you're tired.
Well, there's an interesting strength and conditioning tie-in with this Mark Richt, Jeremy Pruitt issue from the past. We'll start hour three with that. Of course, talk more college football. Stick with us right here. It's Three and Out, driven by Toyota Knoxville.